Hello, everyone. Welcome to the John and Joe Show podcast. My name is John Kerr, publisher of the Kerr Report newsletter. I'm joined now by the Joe portion of the John and Joe Show, proud Mundelein Mustang, Northern Illinois Husky, Daily Herald alum, and part-time ABC 7 morning show commentator, Joe Aguilar. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well, John. Thanks. Masters is underway. Tigers playing well. Things are good.
Yeah, I was thinking there might be a rain delay down there in Augusta, which would be so
2020. It was early.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be so early,
yeah, and that'd be so 2020, wouldn't it? You know, just Masters, rain out, you know, just
right,
a 2020 thing, you know. So, and having spent a year in Augusta and fortunate enough to be down there, it is an amazing tournament. And that would be a podcast, Joe, about my experience being down there in Augusta. Year one of Tiger, the year that he won it for the first time. That was an amazing experience. So, but good stuff. But we're not going to talk about golf and Tiger Woods on this show. We are excited to have on Tricia Betthauser, who is the athletic director at Stevenson High School. All sorts of things we're going to talk about with Trish. And Trish, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on.
Trish, first thing I want to ask you about is sort of the weekly news cycle as we get into, we're recording this on November the 12th, and there was some news yesterday, November 11th, a statement from the IHSA in regards to the winter sports season, specifically basketball. We know there's other winter sports that are happening, but basketball is certainly big here in the state. It appears there's no resolution yet to basketball in terms of when it's going to be played. I know the IHSA has set a schedule, but we're in an opt-in, opt-out world. And from a survey that got released, many schools have opted out or are undeclared at this point. Can you offer up any news as to where Stevenson stands on this and just kind of your reaction the way things are going here in regards to basketball?
Sure. We're currently in the holding pattern that many of the surrounding schools are in. You know, we definitely don't want to go against health guidance per se, but we're balancing that with, you know, wanting to provide opportunities for our athletes in a safe environment. And I think you're seeing some of that, you know, at the they're all coming from this, from a place of wanting to keep people safe, wanting to make decisions in the best interest of people. There obviously is a lack of communication from what we're hearing in terms of a unified decision and a unified statement. So.
Hey, Trish, Joe Aguilar, thanks again for joining us. Just curious, how much feedback and how often are you hearing from your head coaches? Now, we know head coaches aren't going to decide whether we play or not, no matter what school you're at. But I'm just curious what kind of feedback you're receiving on a daily basis, or are some coaches just say, look, it's not my decision. I'm just going to wait till I hear from our administration. What's that like on a daily basis for you as an AD?
In regards to basketball or all of our sports, Joe?
All of your sports. And I guess basketball I was thinking, but really all your sports, your winter sports anyway.
Sure. I would say I'm in communication with those winter sport coaches on a daily basis right now. Just spoke with our boys and girls basketball coach last night. We had a meeting at 8 where we were working on a few things. For the most part, they're very upbeat, optimistic, hopeful. They understand their role in regards to being leaders for their athletes and setting the example. That's important. But personally, you know, they're definitely getting exhausted with the unknown and with what could be perceived as back and forth, you know, thinking that there's going to be decision and then hearing that there's not. And that can take an emotional toll as well, specific to basketball, for sure.
Yeah. I'm always curious. I mean, athletic directors, I mean, you're in a position where you really got to, whether we're in a pandemic or not, you got to watch what you say to certain people. Has it been tough for you to, as an administrator, as someone who's in a building, a high school building, to just kind of watch what you say to certain people? This is, I've been saying it all pandemic, and I just like to hear when we have guests on their answers and their feedback as far as, you know, it's like you never talk politics and religion with people, and you don't talk COVID because, you know, depending on what side of the fence you're on, you might get pushback from people. But how difficult is this for you? Or I guess maybe you're used to it being in this position you are, that you know how to balance things and watch what you say.
I try to focus on what we know for sure. And I mean, I know the experiences that we've had in our building. I know from observing our athletes, how seriously they're taking the situation, how carefully they're approaching the opportunities. And so that's where I come from. I can't speculate on what's happening outside of our building or our conference, so to speak. And like you said, I do try to avoid some of those political stances, some of the personal feelings I may have one way or the other. I can just, you know, speak to what I know for certain and what kind of data I have to back that up here at Stevenson.
Our guest is Trish Bettheiser, the athletic director at Stevenson High School, and we're talking about what's happening with winter sports and the virus and the IHSA, and we're going to get into a conversation with Trish about female sports here in just a few minutes as well. I want to ask her about that, and as someone who is heavily involved in boys and girls sports at Stevenson, but certainly being a female athletic director can give a good perspective on that. But Trish, one other question about what's happening in relation to winter sports. There seems to be this common belief that basketball can just be moved to the spring. That seems to be just like these phrases that we've come up with COVID, where it's abundance of caution, adaptive pause. Well, we'll just push it back to the spring. What are challenges with that? What are challenges? You already have football, right, which is currently scheduled in the spring. Quite a few other sports have had to be reclassified into different seasons. You've got a summer season now as well. What are some challenges if you're not able to play basketball in the winter? When can it be played?
Well, personally, I feel the first option that we should be looking at, and I'm sure the IHSA is talking about this, is pushing it back while still keeping it in this winter time frame. So trying to get as much of a season complete before the end of February, knowing that that may overlap a little bit with the new spring season starting on February 15th. So in my personal opinion, I think that would be best for athletes, best for coaches. And that's assuming that we're in a good place with cases and COVID. Moving it to the spring, I think most coaches, you know, ultimately most coaches and athletes, they want to play. They want to figure out a way to play. They want to get out there. They want to experience what they can. The challenges are there for sure. Multi-sport athletes will most likely have to make a choice, or they'll have to try and split time, which isn't necessarily good for programs when you have athletes that are making it to half of the practices and, you know, half of the competitions and that type of thing. The other challenges you see in some places, and definitely ours, facilities, you know, especially indoor facilities that time of year. You know, for us, it would be badminton, volleyball, basketball, you know, some sports all sharing indoor facilities. And then all those spring sports that hope to be outside but can't because of weather, they're going to be using indoor spaces. The one that doesn't get talked about as much is coaches who overlap in sports. And that happens a lot in high school sports. We're so thankful we have coaches doing two or three seasons a year. And so they'll have to make, you know, a change as well. I had three coaches on my girls lacrosse staff who are also on my wrestling staff. So, you know, when that decision came in, that's half a staff that I'm not looking for. So, you know, these are things we can overcome for sure, but it's definitely going to take some time and adjustment. So.
According to a source I know, Rusty Silber, he told me gymnastics is going to be a go. Yes, the girls, I mean, you just wipe down the bars, keep the girls in the other locker room when they're not competing or whatever. Is that officially a go, gymnastics? And I guess you can do bowling, right, unless bowling alleys get closed down. But are those sports, Trisha, are those a go? Do we know?
As of today, we're starting those sports on Monday, November 16th. So girls and boys bowling, girls gymnastics, boys swimming and diving, dance, cheer. Here at Stevenson, and like some other schools in the area, we have fencing, so girls and boys fencing. And we're ready to go. I mean, we're excited about it. We've got some really actually cool things planned for those events that maybe we wouldn't have done in a year where we had the full slate of winter sports. So,
yeah, the fencers already have a mascot. This is just, they should be doing this like year round, giving people entertainment. So we're good there, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, if bowling's going, you're going to see Rusty there, Trish.
Sorry. Heads up.
Heads up on 50, that.
50-person right? limit in the space. we'll probably reach that very quickly. So I don't know.
I'm not sure Rusty. And Rusty may count for one person and a half. So there may be some additional accommodations or mitigations you have to might make for Rusty. So our guest is Trish Bedhauser, the Stevenson Athletic Director here. We're talking about the winter sports season and kind of working through the virus. And want to pivot here now to Trish about some female sports participation. And specifically yesterday, which was the early signing date for the class of 21, there'll be a later signing date. And, of course, football is in December, so this was non-football signing date. And I was just – I don't want to say I was stunned by this, but I was surprised at the number of female athletes in every – because I was tweeting out to people, hey, send me – you know, tag me, send me your photographs, whatever it was. And it was just remarkable, Trish, at least up in this area, you know, mid-suburban league, north suburban league, central suburban league, some of the private Catholic schools as well, and a few from maybe further down into northern Cook County too. It seemed like if you had six early signing athletes, four were girls. And I was just, it just kind of made my day to see that. And I want to ask you, what do you count to that for? Or how do you, I know this is something that is not, again, this is 2020. We know that more girls are participating in sports than ever at the high school and the college level. But to you, from what you see there at Stevenson, your observations, even around the conference of the area, are more girls playing sports? And what do you attribute to their desire to want to go on to the next level?
So to your first point, I think it may be more obvious this signing period because we don't see the football. We're not possibly seeing some of the boys basketball at this point in the year. But I do also see an uptick in overall girls' interest in playing at that collegiate level. I think the opportunities are there. I think, you know, prior to COVID, I think there were more Division III, Division II schools that were offering opportunities. And I do think that athletes are realizing it's not that difficult of a process to find those schools. And the unfamiliar, what might have been an unfamiliar name to them before, it just doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't have to be the big name school. It doesn't have to be the big name program or the familiar program. And they're willing to be that first athlete in the area to go because there's some novelty to that. Like, I'm going to pave the way. And if you follow recruiting, that's usually what it takes for a school is to break into a certain area to get one athlete and then to recruit the area around them. And then you can usually get two or three that'll follow within the next few years because word of mouth is your best recruiting tool. So I think it's a combination of a lot of that. I also think that, I recently, you know, did some work on women's sports, but I think even going back to the success of the Women's World Cup and the exposure that we saw there, I think it's still having effect on our female athletes and the way that those women advocated for themselves, for equal pay, for just for more publicity, more marketing opportunities. I think that was a big moment in women's sports, and I think that's still making an impact. So,
yeah, I was just glad to see a lot of schools still celebrating signing day despite, you know, no one really in school. That was cool to see the kids in the building and the wherever they were, the AD's office, or with the pitchers. I'm glad to see that, especially during the pandemic. I had a coach tell me years ago, and I always remember this. She said, if I have a kid who wants to play a college sport, I will find a spot for them. So it doesn't have to be, you know, Notre Dame or Illinois, but if they want to play somewhere, whether it's D3, NAIA, he would find a fit for them, assuming they can afford it and his family can afford it and all that kind of thing. But kind of, I'm assuming that still goes. I know Stevenson has a million kids there, Trish, but I would assume most kids or your coaches have the attitude that if you want to play somewhere, I'll find a spot for you, assuming you qualify and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I can say, you know, from 10 years ago, I think we have more athletes that are realizing all the opportunities that are out there. And I think part of that is the recognition piece. You know, we didn't do this 10 years ago. And if we did do it, it was that one athlete that was signing, you know, Division I big name school. And like you just mentioned, there's so many opportunities at so many levels, and we're going to recognize those all in the same manner. So.
Yeah, John and I, Jenny, we've had this conversation in the past about signing day and whether some kids make a big deal that they, you know, they're going to McHenry County College. I think it's cool. I've always been a fan of that. I think it is something to be celebrated, whether you're going to a JUCO or you're going to a Power 5 school to play quarterback. So I think that's cool, and it should be celebrated. I can tell you, I'm parents are proud of it, and the kids should be proud of it. So that's all cool and good to me.
Oh, yeah. No, and look, let's be honest. Some of this has to do with social media and Twitter driving a lot of this stuff. I mean, when somebody commits to a junior college, do I need to see some 30-second video roll of, I mean, come on. No, you know, honestly. But that's the old man in me, okay? It's like just to take the achievement. That should be enough, right? But I also understand that is just the generation that we live in. And to me, if that means it draws other athletes into it and makes them want to, especially female athletes, want to participate, that's awesome, right? So whatever makes them excited about playing sports, that is, I'm all for that. And that's one other question I wanted to ask Trish about this. Remember, we had a conversation probably on the podcast a couple of years ago, last time we had you on, about overcoming some of the stigmas that come with girls and athletics. And I remember you talking about this thing, Trish, and it might have been 3 or 4 years ago as well, that you were kind of working on this specifically, I think, at Stevenson and the experience that you know, girls have and when it comes to athletics. And there are some studies that come out and say by the time girls enter high school, a lot of them have already quit due to maybe some issues that they've had, whether it be just not having a good experience. Again, the stigma around being a female and keeping that femininity while also being competitive and being okay to say that I want to win. Have you seen some improvement around that as well? And also parents being more educated about that. Look, at Stevenson, you've got a diverse population with a lot of different ethnicities, a lot of different races, and those come with varying stigmas. How far along you think that I know you can only speak for Stevenson specifically, but maybe even a broader context with some of those generational stigmas around females and participation?
Yeah, I think it starts with having the female role models in place in your building. And I can say, you know, in our building, they've done, myself combined with our director of physical welfare, Eric Ramos, like there's been an emphasis on female opportunities, even within like our PE classes. And so we work closely together, especially when it comes to staffing. A lot of those teachers are also in coaching positions, but breaking down those barriers where the female athletes are comfortable in those spaces, those physical spaces, first and foremost, and that they're recognizing, like you said, that, you know, the stigma of being a strong female athlete is not, it shouldn't be something that prohibits you from, you know, doing your very best and having those goals and going after them and trying to achieve them as best you can. I look to some of our programs that have had some incredible recent history. Our girls golf program, you know, that's a team, and I think everybody has one right now where he's like, if it weren't for COVID, we may have been able to do this. I'm going to say that about our girls golf program. I'm going to say that about our girls swimming and diving program. Those are two where I'm like, those program success, girls tennis, girls badminton, our cheer, our dance, and girls water polo. I'm just thinking of teams that have won state championships in the last few years. And I'm probably, forgetting a few off the top of my head, girls tennis. I think that all starts with, there's a championship to be won. And it's okay for us to say that we want to go out there and get it. And then do the work to get there. First, you have to, make that statement, or you have to start to believe that as a group, you can collectively get to that place where it's a reality. So, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Weimer, they were going, the girls polo team, were they going for their fourth in a row last spring? Was it right? Was it three in a row they won?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Girls, golf team, defending state champs. Did you ever get a good reason? Because I never did, Trish, why they couldn't hold a state meet in golf? Because this to me was ridiculous. Again, I know you have to watch what you say, but why they couldn't have a state meet for the guys and girls golf to me was just, that's where I've thrown my hands up a lot the last 7-8 months, whatever. But that to me was brutal, that it couldn't get worked out.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a good answer?
I didn't ask. I think... It came down to the equity situation, this way everyone got to play get as far as a sectional. The opportunity was there. No sport went beyond a sectional in the fall. So that's the only thing I can think of. The other part, it's not so much the competition itself that concerns people that are hosting or concerns those schools that are hosting or courses. It's the gathering of people after competition, before competition, and so that can bring some uneasiness to those that are planning, hence the Notre Dame situation that took place after the big win. Mm-hmm. Like, you think you've got everything taken care of, and then you can't plan for everything. So that might have been it too. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Then you don't want to be that guy who caught, right? You don't want to be that sport, that golf course, that hosting school. That's going to be, I wouldn't be pointing the finger at. So that, stinks. I still think it stinks, but that I'm glad you could articulate that for me and for our listeners, because it's hard to argue with what you're saying there.
Yeah. I'm just going to quote Charlie Brown here. Good grief. Other states have done it. Wisconsin managed to do it. They got corporations involved. It's just a matter of will and determination. And there's plenty of people here in Illinois and the Chicago area that could make it happen. It's just a matter of trusting individuals to make it work. And unfortunately, we're in a state where, we have politicians who don't. So that's where we are.
And then,
Trish, your reaction to my comment there.
Well, I'm an advocate for high school sports for sure, but I was very happy to see that there have been some other organizations step out and provide those opportunities for some of our athletes. I think to the unofficial state tournament that happened with cross country, there was a lot of Twitter chatter about that. And I think that's great. I really do. And I'm thankful that there are organizations out there. Obviously, not being associated with the school and having to, bear the responsibility for being a part of that puts them in a different category. So more power to them, for sure.
Well, that was a leading question there, Trish. You could have easily just brushed that off and given a little comment, but we appreciate you answering that on the podcast here. Our last couple of minutes here with Trish Bedhauser, the athletic director at Stevenson High School. And Trish, one thing that I think is interesting about this whole process is understanding the communications, back and forth, certainly for us. How much are you involved in conversations about return to play? And I know we've got superintendents involved. I know we have principals involved. We have boards of education. which I think we've been very educated here, I think the last 7 months, about how influential boards of educations are. What is your role here? Is there anything different than it's been before? Certainly you have to be mentors to your coaches and make sure that your athletes are participating in good mental and physical health. But just in terms of that, the line of communication and delineating who is a decision maker here, how much influence do you have with your superintendent, with the principal, with the boards of education, and in regards to the information flow on deciding when to return to play?
So I think the key point in your question was influence. And I'm not sure how much influence I may have with my superintendent and principal. I definitely appreciate the collaboration that takes place with the three of us. I think my role is providing the information that I know and, you know, the data that I have, and then offering, you know, my assurances on how, you know, I feel like we can move forward safely. I'm going to be an advocate when I feel that I need to, but I'm also not going to, you know, blindly push forward and stomp my feet and, you know, say this is what needs to be done. So I think that that's how most schools are operating right now. I'm hearing from my colleagues. They're speaking with their administration on a daily basis as well. I really feel like there's great collaboration amongst administrators right now, even beyond your own school wall. So I want to, you know, give some props to our Illinois Athletic Directors Association. You know, there's, you know, 500, 600 of us that are part of that. And we have been able to be a part of weekly meetings organized by our president, Darren Howard, and the IHSA. They have accepted the invitation to be at every single one of those. And they have, you know, sat through the question and answers and provided transparency as far as they can. And so that's been wonderful for the ADs. So a lot of times, superintendent and principal, they'll reach out to us and say, what did you hear from the IHSA today? What was the conversation? And then they'll, you know, speak among superintendent colleagues or speak among principal colleagues. And so there's a lot of that going on, especially in our conference, in our county, in our area up here. So to make it like a real simple answer, I think the collaboration has been great. Do I think that the result is obvious that it's been great? No. I think a lot of people may get the perception that there aren't conversations going on, especially at the state level. And I can't speak to that, but there's definitely conversations going on at the local level, and lots of them.
Last one for me, Trish. We thank you again for being on here. Spring is always a scheduling nightmare anyway, right? When you look at, I mean, it's hard to look at next month, let alone what March is going to look like or what February is going to look like. But the whole scheduling nightmare, the logistics, when you're trying to piece this all together, even in a normal year, Who all helps you with that? I mean, with so many sports, especially in the spring, all levels, who do you lean on, and how does that get done?
Well, I could speak for my staff. I have two supporting cast members, Jeff Blazine, Mike Fay, and we work together. You know, we each have certain sports that we focus on, and we update and change and communicate with other schools. That's generally what happens, is that you have a team of people that are working on it within your office or office staff. Where I feel some of the real work is done is with our officials assigners. So every time there's a game scheduled or canceled or moved, the officials are the major, you know, pinpoint in that. And whether they're available, whether, you know, they can do it, is a big part of it. And so we contract out with several officials assigners in the area. And that's the part right now where, you know, they're getting yo-yoed around, 25 games, 20 games, 10 games, no, moving it back, starting it later, all of that. And so we're very thankful for those individuals, and then the officials who do eventually accept those positions and make those competitions go.
And you talk about the, sorry, John, the,
no, Joe, go ahead.
And we talk about coaches who coach multiple sports and athletes, multi-sport athletes. The referee thing, we figured there'd be a problem anyway, even if things got back to normal, you know, at the start of the fall season, because a lot of these guys are gray beards. They might not want to come back, higher risk guys. Now, you got a lot of these guys, too, who do multiple sports. So I think that's going to be potentially – I don't see how it's not going to be a problem in the spring if you get basketball pushed to the spring with these other sports. But I don't know, John. Maybe we'll have to get another referee. I got Mike Babich or Jerry Ming or somebody on again to talk about that issue, because I don't – we have a ref shortage anyway. We've had one for a while, and now I wrote about this – back in the summer, I think it's going to be even compounded.
Yeah, I would encourage you guys maybe to shine some more light on that, because I think there are opportunities out there for, you know, young officials or young people to get into that field. It's relatively easy, cheap, you know, a test and sign up and attend some clinics. The only saving grace I can see in your earlier comment is that we won't be scheduling quite as many basketball games or quite as many football games, et cetera. And so hopefully we'll be able to stretch that coverage and get through. But, yeah, we definitely need more officials for sure.
Yeah. Joe Aguilar, why don't you get on that, man? Sign up for that clinic. Get out there.
I am not that thick skinned. I could, yeah. No, I would not go off on one parent at an eighth grade game or something. I've heard too many horror stories. You know, parents gone bad at Johnny's, you know, basketball game. I couldn't handle it. I would not have the patience for that. How about you, John? Would you do it?
I would not. No. I mean, I did in college and I got fired. Like literally after like two games.
Cause you were bad or what?
I don't know if it was bad. I think I was just distracted with other things. I don't think I showed up is what I think happened, but you know, that was a 22-year-old version of me. I would hope that I've overcome that. But, it's in a way it's a public service the way we're talking about it here. Right. I mean, it's almost like you have to kind of reevaluate sort of like what your contribution is, I think, in the community where you live and think about how my best serving. Right. I think we've all had some time to sort of think about that over the last 7 months, probably. So that would be something to consider. Hey, is this a way that I can help best serve my community? I also coach and I'm a youth coach. So personally, there's only so much time to do other things. But no, I think that there is some, the recruitment of younger officials has to happen, but there needs to be probably a change in messaging of what's around that. And I, that's something that certainly I think the folks that are in charge are thinking about that or kind of coming up with, but that's probably also a phone call to our buddy, you know, Jim Bernardi as well. Kind of check in with Jim a little bit and kind of see how he's doing on that one. But actually one other quick thing, Trish, do before we let you go here is on the 19th, November 19th, that has been the latest sort of date that we've gotten in regards to the next meeting. And I know the IHSA said that they have invited some other associations to the table here, the Superintendents Association, the Principals Association, as well as the Illinois State Board of Education. How important is that meeting? What to you is a best outcome at the end of the day on November 19th?
I think the best outcome for the state of Illinois and all those individuals that are affected by this basketball decision is to hear a united statement. You know, whatever it might be, just to know that it's supported by the organizations that have been identified and invited to sit down and discuss.
I would think that would be an excellent outcome, Trish, what you just said. I also think an excellent outcome would be one of, in my opinion, would be we are moving towards a winner's season. Right. I think some answer that gives somebody definitive, or we realize we can't work with these people anymore and we're going to move forward with the spring or summer schedule. I just think personally talking to coaches and athletes, all of this uncertainty is weighing on people. I would think there needs to be some, as much as you can in this COVID era, you can set a date and then it'll change a week later. We all live in this nimble world. We get that. But I would think just from your psyche and for yourself and your coaching staff, just something that says we are moving towards, in a collaborative nature, towards having some type of a season in some capacity.
Yeah.
As best you can. Yeah.
Right. That would be amazing if we could get some sort of, you know, these are the metrics, and you hear that word metrics all the time. or this is what we're considering as important data when we, you know, think about these decisions. Yeah, that would be helpful. That would be the next layer for that conversation for sure. Yeah.
Joe, anything else? Can we let?
We appreciate you. Appreciate you being on, Trish. Good seeing you on our Zoom here, and good talking with you.
Yeah, I appreciate seeing you guys. You look great. So, pandemic has been good to you.
Yeah, I did. We both shaved today, Tricia, in honor of you coming on the show. So this is freshly. I even threw on some new aftershave here this afternoon for you. So,
be amazing if Zoom could then add that feature where you can smell the people on the other end. Oh.
There's probably some Stevenson kid who's working on that app right now. So,
yeah.
You like always lead the state in like 36 ACTs, don't you? At Stevenson, Trish.
I did make a statement probably months ago, and I said I think that one of our students is going to come up with the vaccine.
And I wouldn't be surprised.
They're amazing.
Yeah, like you see those stock photographs of the scientists with the test tubes and the white jackets, which is published now whenever there's an article about the vaccine, and Trish is going like, oh, wait a minute, isn't that so and so? He's a senior, right? Isn't he? He's a fencer, actually, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, great stuff. Hey, Trish, thanks again for coming on, taking so much time with us and going through the whole gamut of things. And best of luck to you. Continued success there at Stevenson. Hopefully next time we see you, it'll be at a live event.
Yes, I agree. Take care, you guys.
Yep.
Thanks, Trish.
Appreciate it. That is Trish Bedhauser, athletic director at Stevenson High School. And yeah, I think we covered a lot of ground there with Trish, as we were hoping to do. Updates on what's happening with the IHSA, as well as participation in winter sports and the virus, and also some good conversations, Joe, about female sports participation. And I think just a phenomenal, I think, trend in sports in general. We're seeing more women not only playing high school sports, and there's data to back this up. You can look this information up, but also playing at the next level. And I think that's just a great thing to see.
Yeah, it's like she mentioned, it's opportunities. And, you know, if that, you know, makes you want to go to college, right, to ultimately get an education, to play your sport, doesn't have to be at a, you know, D1 school, wherever you end up. It's funny, though, because one of the parts I enjoy about, you and I have talked about this on podcasts before, I think, is every time I think I've heard of, like, every university in this country, you'll see some kid committing to a school. I'm like, I've never heard of that school. So that's amazing how many universities or colleges are out there. So I always enjoy seeing those kind of like, to me, it's almost like trivia. Like, there's a kid from Grays Lake North. They're going where? But hey, you know what? I was just talking to our buddy Jeff Newton about this. He's got a daughter who's a senior as well, as you know, John, where she's, looking at certain schools, and it's just like all they're all over the country, and it's about finding the fit, right? So whether it's on the West Coast, East Coast, your local junior college, wherever you're going to be happy, and if you have the opportunity to play a sport, man, I mean, we know as men who are well past our athletic prime, at least I am. You're still in good shape, Kerr. You get that opportunity. It's so cool. I wish I would have been a college athlete, went to NIU, tried out for the soccer team, got cut like in a day. You know, that's about it. But how fun it would have been to be a college athlete, the friendships, the camaraderie, the competitiveness, the whole deal. So anyway, love having Trish Bedows around. One of the things I really miss, and you know this, John, for once since having left the Daily Herald, is opportunities to see and talk to people like Trish Bedows on a regular basis. So that was fun catching up with her.
No, it's great to see Trish and getting her perspective on all sorts of things, the current climate of what's happening. But again, the kind of a global look at female sports participation. You know, Joe, when we were talking to Trish, I recalled, this is, God, going back a couple of years now, an article I did for the Pioneer Press on a North Suburban girls lacrosse player. I can't think of her name right now. And she was going to play lacrosse in college, and she mentioned the school. Hadn't heard of it. I believe it was Kaiser College. I think it's K-E-I-S-E-R, Kaiser College. And guess where it's located? West Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, see?
And she was getting like a good chunk of I mean, she didn't tell me exactly what it was. I think it's an NAIA school, but they offer scholarships. And I just remember her saying, yeah, we have classes like 2 days a week, like right next to the beach. Like, oh my goodness. I tell you, I'm going like, I don't have a daughter, but I think I ran down the street where my sister lives here, and my niece was probably 10 years old. I think I bought her a lacrosse stick. I'm going, Finley here, come on.
Hey, you know, do you remember?
You have your Uncle John just popping in on you in college here, like a couple times a month. So anyway.
You know, as former Wakanda basketball player Ali Tilka, who was our player of the year for the Daily Herald a couple of years ago, she'd be she's a sophomore now at Florida Atlantic. And I remember writing the story on her when she committed. I think on their court, the sign says 2 miles to the beach. Like it's all, I have things painted on the court. And they use that. What a fantastic recruiting tool, because I'm in. If I'm you know, I know you're there to get an education, right? Truthfully, but when you see the 2 miles from the beach sign or whatever, I think it's 2 miles. It's on their website, but I thought that was clever. And who doesn't like to hear that? You know, they don't have that sign at McHenry County College. Well, I guess Crystal Lake Beach is probably 2 miles away, but you know what I mean. So
I haven't seen that when I drive past Moraine Valley. I don't see that sign there or Oakdale.
You don't even see a valley. So I mean, come on, what's going on?
Yeah, or maybe there was a valley at one point, but then it got, you know, now it's Home Depot's, you know, and right. Whatever else is around there, but. Right. Great stuff, Joe. Hey, really a fun show today. Great conversation with Trish Bedhauser. And we will continue to discuss the developing story that is sports here in the state of Illinois. And by the time we're doing the show next week, we'll have the latest update, whatever that means, a week from now. Maybe there'll be some definitive answer. I think a little bit of news from Trish was that at least her and I assume her other athletic director colleagues would prefer to play basketball in the winter. I think she was not dismissive, but the idea of moving this to the spring or the summer season, which I've heard some coaches talk about, that doesn't seem like currently that's where there's a lot of interest or momentum in that direction.
Yeah, and why push it off to the spring when January is still a possibility? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but again, things are fluid minute to minute, let alone week to week, month to month. We're still in November. So that's part of the reason why, not to go back too far, but at the beginning of the pandemic, why everyone was, you know, rushing to cancel the season. It's like, hey, it's the first week in April. We got time. It's the second week in April. We still have a window. And then, you know, we know how things ended up. But to me, there's no reason to be saying we're moving to spring. On what is it, the 12th today, November 12th? What's today, John? All right.
12th.
I mean, 12th. Yeah, November 12th. Mid-November. So regardless, it would make sense instead of trying to cram yet another sport into this weird spring 2021 anyway. So let's hope for that we can get on the court at least by January.
No doubt. And again, we will be talking about this over the coming weeks here on the John and Joe Show podcast. And that is going to do it for today. Again, I want to thank our guest, Stephen Seth, Athletic Director Trish Bedhauser. And always, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back next week with another episode of the John and Joe Show. For Joe, I'm John. Say goodbye, Joe.
See ya.